The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
Independence, Ohio.
You changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemy of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left. I'm Radio Pastor Ernie Sanders, and indeed, this is the voice of the Christian resistance. And I'm not hearing through this headset too well tonight. I think, let me do some adjustments here, folks. All right, now I think it's a little better there. And maybe I better adjust this up a little bit. Okay, am I coming through on the board okay?
You're coming through.
Okay, that's just all I needed to know. All right, very good. Well, the title of the message today was, I Am Angry. And here is the reason why. I am angry, and here is the reason why. We're going to start tonight in Joshua chapter 7 and read the entire verses 1 through 26. But the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing. For Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, and of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. And Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Beth-Aven, on the east side of Bethel, and spake at them, saying, Go up and view the country. And the men went up and viewed Ai. And they returned to Joshua and said unto him, Let not all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 go up and smite Ai, and make not all the people to labor, for they are few. Now, here's where Joshua made a mistake. You see, Joshua, when he heard this news, he didn't bother consulting God. If anybody should have known to go to the Lord with this, it should have been him, okay? And so here, as we see, and the men of Ai smote them of about 36 men, for they chased them from before the gate even unto Shibarim, and smote them in the going down. Wherefore the hearts of the people melted, and they became as water. Well, here again, they thought this was going to be an easy war. 3,000 men should easily take care of this, but it wasn't. It turned on them because they did not consult God. And now, they can't understand what happened here. You see, up to now, whenever they would go to war, they would consult God, and God would give them the victory. You know, if he says, go ahead, I will deliver the enemy. But now, it turned on them, and now they're panicking. They're afraid. Even Joshua don't know what to think. Has God abandoned us? And so, he goes on. And Joshua rent his clothes and fell to the earth upon his face before the ark of the Lord until eventide. And he and the elders of Israel put dust upon their heads. And Joshua said, Alas, O Lord God, wherefore hast thou at all brought this people over Jordan to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites, to destroy us? Would to God we had been content and dwelt on the other side of Jordan. O Lord, what shall I say when Israel turneth their backs before their enemies? For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land shall hear of it, and shall environ us. Now that word environ means surround us around, and cut off our name from the earth. And what will we do to thy great name? Well, here they were in a panic because of what happened. Now they are fear that if the other tribe, the Canaanites, find out and what happened and say, hey, their God has deserted them, now is our chance to get even with Israel. And let's go and we'll make war and destroy them. So old Joshua, he's on his face. He's on his face and he's crying out to God, Lord, help me, don't abandon us, or we're toast. And the Lord said unto Joshua, get thee up, wherefore liest thou thus upon thy face? Israel has sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them. For they have taken of the accursed thing, and have stolen, and disassembled. Well, that word disassembled means they've used trickery and they lied. They've been dishonest and they lied also. And they put it even among their own stuff. Therefore the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before the enemies because they were accursed. Neither will I be with you anymore, except you destroy the accursed from among you. Up, sanctify the people, and say, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, there is an accursed thing in the midst of thee, O Israel. Thou canst not stand there before thine enemies, and take ye up the accursed thing from among you. In the morning, before you shall be brought according to your tribes, and it shall be that the tribe which the Lord taketh shall come according to thy families thereof, and the family which the Lord shall take come by households, and households which the Lord shall take shall come by man, and it shall be that he that is taken with the accursed thing shall be burnt with fire, he and all he that he hath, because he hath transgressed the covenant of the Lord, and because he hath wrought folly in Israel. Now, here, what is happening here, when he tells him to get up, and he tells him that there's been someone who has disassembled, had lied, and there's been theft going on, and the accursed things have been taken. Well, see, they had orders to go and destroy everything in Jericho, except for the metallic objects, or that the cups and, you know, golden vessels, and that were to go back to the Lord's temple, okay, the Lord's house. But everything else they were to destroy, everything. The clothes, see, the accursed thing was everything that God says to destroy, from their clothes to their animals, everything in between they were to destroy. Well, here were some was saying, well, you know, let's, you know, this is awful nice. Boy, this is awful nice robe, and this is awful nice. Well, the fellow's name was Achan, who got in all the trouble. Now, Achan had brought down already God's wrath on Israel because of Achan's sin. Already, many men had already died. Israel was paralyzed with fear. And here, the leaders, Joshua himself, faltered and was confused. And God said that he might withdraw his presence. He might just pull out. And they knew if God withdrew his presence, well, then surely their enemies would find out about that and they would be finished. They would be, without God there to help them, they would be done. So Joshua rose up early in the morning. Well, So Joshua rose up early in the morning and brought Israel by their tribes. And the tribe of Judah was taken. And he brought the family of Judah. And he took the family of Zarahites. And he brought the family of the Zarahites, man by man. And Zabdi was taken. And he brought his household, man by man. And Achan, a son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, and the tribe of Judah was taken. And Joshua said unto Achan, my son, give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord, God of Israel, and make confession unto him, and tell me now what thou hast done, and hide it not from me. And Achan answered Joshua and said, indeed, I have sinned against thee, Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done. And when I saw among the spoils goodly Babylonish garment, and 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, then I converted them, and took them, and behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent, and the silver under it. Well, now, you see, here, if they had allowed Achan to go unpunished, then all of the others in Israel would say, look, that guy, you know, he went and did some looting, and, you know, nothing happened to him. Well, you know, if he gets away, what do we can do, right? And so Joshua sent messengers, and they ran into the tent, and behold, it was hid in his tent, and the silver under it. And they took them of the midst of the tent, and brought them unto Joshua, and unto all the children of Israel, and laid them out before the Lord. And Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan the son of Zerah, and the silver, and the garments, and the wedge of gold, and his sons, and his daughters, and his oxen, and his asses, and his sheep, and his tent, and all that they had, they brought unto the Lord in the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day. And all of Israel stoned him with stones, and he burned them with fire, after they had stoned them with stones. And they raised over him a great heap of stones in the day. So the Lord turned from his fierceness of his anger, wherefore in the name of the place was called the Valley of Achor unto this day. Now, here, you know, just like there in Israel, everything in Jericho that God had ordered to be destroyed became the accursed thing. Today, America, again, we have our accursed things. Folks, God is immutable. He doesn't change. He's the same today, tomorrow, forever. And here, when we take a look at America's sins, first of all, America's national sin. America's become a very wicked country. A very wicked country. And folks, we, the church, the salt and light, we let it happen. Now, I can honestly say, and I can honestly say that I've fought this to the very best of my ability, you know, now for decades. And I've been fighting the politically correct, the Antichrist communist thing. But unfortunately, there's been too few of us fighting this. But we have our accursed things, abortion, LGBTQ, critical race theory. Well, Disneyland promoting its transgender pedophile movement. And folks, you see, a lot of people call themselves Christians. will say, yeah, I know, you know, what they've done, and I know that Disney World's become a virtual hotbed for pedophilia, and they've come out and they've already come out and said what they want to do to your children. But, you know, we want to go there anyhow. And, you know, not everybody's got high standards. A lot of people. Now, don't call yourself a Christian if you have no standards, because Christians, true Christians, have standards. And so, and that, this is why you really should make your salvation sure. Well, anyhow, here, when we're talking about this, we have the transgender, the feminists, the complete deathocratic communist collective. We have dirty cops, dirty judges, dirty politicians. These are all a part of the accursed thing. We have witchcraft. And tonight, in fact, tonight we just was showing a documentary on witchcraft, how witchcraft is growing. I mean, witchcraft is growing at an alarming rate here in America today. And too many of the young girls are getting involved and caught up in this. We have what is called hot wives. Now, hot wives, when asked, three women, when asked, three so-called hot wives, how would you define yourself? One would say, well, let me see what she said. She was, sexually liberated, sexually liberated. Another one said, her sexuality had no bounds. We had no bounds. But a third says, when asked, how would you define yourself? She said, we're whores. She told the truth. She said, we're whores. And that's what hot wives are today. Hot wives are whores. What they call hot wives are women who sleep with other men, other than their husbands, okay? And, of course, God's Word, the Bible, calls that being a whore or adulteress. So, and then you have what they call open marriages now. Open marriages, in other words, you get married, but then you go and you sleep with other people. And they say, this is acceptable. God doesn't accept it. You better understand. You say, well, society, I got news for you. You and all of society will be on your knees before Almighty God on that judgment day. And you won't have any friends. Believe me. You know, the Lord Jesus said it very clearly, without stuttering. He said, repent or perish. And so if you're into that, and now they've got so-called Christian open marriages, Christian and so-called swingers, Christian swingers. And then you have what is called the woke movement, the woke. And folks, this is absolute insanity. It's lunacy. But then, those that will receive the greater damnation are the apostate preachers. The apostate preachers. Jesus had said to the religious leaders, had you not seen and had what I've done, and had you not been told what I've done, then you would have no sin. But since you've seen, you know what I've done, and you've been told, there is no cloak for your sin. Therefore, your damnation will be the greater. Now, you notice, too, he uses a term, instead of condemnation, damnation, which is a little bit stronger term here. So, Achan, old Achan, like all of those on the left today, forgot that God was watching. Everything that belonged to Achan had to be destroyed, including his family. His sin had already caused the deaths of many men in Israel. Now, again, if he had not, if God had not taken them and destroyed them, what would have the result been? Well, it wouldn't have been good. I want to go over to Second Peter chapter 2 now. You know, I'm very concerned about so many people that I know that have, well, disassembled, if you will. We'll use that word, meaning they have acted very deceptively. You will see them in church on Sunday morning or Sunday evening, sometimes both. We have several people that come to both services. Not because they really want to be there, but because they want to appear in front of family and friends as they want to be there. Now, I'm very, very concerned because on Sunday they are in church, but the rest of the week they are in the world. And one of the things that I've preached on constantly was to making your salvation sure. Make your salvation sure. There are a lot of people that are going to be in for an extremely rude awakening someday. And I don't want it to be because I didn't warn them. And I continuously preach about making your salvation sure. And so here, I want to go over to, I was there a minute ago, 2 Peter chapter 1. Verses, just two verses, 10 and 11. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and your election sure. Okay, again, let me read that again. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and your election sure. For if you do these things, you should never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly unto the everlasting kingdom of the Lord and Savior Jesus. Okay. So here, when he's talking about is that, well, like today, there were so many over the years, so many times I've heard people say to me, since salvation comes by faith and grace and not by works, then all I need to do is get saved, and I don't have to do the works. I had a friend years ago, and he made a profession of faith. He would go to church on Sunday, a profession of faith, and it used to bother him that I would be out during the week on the streets in front of the bloody abortion mills preaching the gospel, preaching and saving babies. And he would come to me and he would say, man, look, you are a good salesman. You could be making mega bucks. I could get you working here or there, and I know you could be making mega bucks. You don't have to go out there to the streets. You don't have to be preaching to those heathen. You don't have to be saving babies. All you need to do is get saved. Well, my friend was, you know, in error. And I told him, look, what scripture says, faith without works is dead. Faith without works is dead. And in other words, there is no faith there. If there's no works, if there's faith there, meaning salvation, then there'll be works. You'll have a burning desire within you to serve God. You know, I mean, I would be totally miserable if I weren't doing the Lord's work, because that's what I'm called to do. And so, in fact, in James, what is the name of the church that I pastor? It's called Doers of the Word. And what does it tell you in James 1:22? Be you a doer of the word, not a hearer only, deceiving your own self. And so here, what's happening today, I'm so concerned because I know so many people, folks, that that I know, they go to church on Sunday, and the rest of the week, they're in the world. It's like church was Sunday. I got my 2 hours in on Sunday. They don't pick up a Bible. They don't listen to programs like this. They're strictly back in the world till Sunday comes again. And I'm sorry, but I got a real problem with people making a profession that they're saved and living that way. Now, I want to go over also to 2 Corinthians chapter 13. Now, excuse me for coughing every now and then. I've still got this, what they call the long haul after COVID. I guess they call it long COVID or whatever. But it's on its way out. And one of the reasons I am coughing is because I've been preaching all day long. But anyhow, over in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 5 through 8, I read, "Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know you not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates? But I trust that you should know that we are not reprobates. Now I pray to God that you do no evil, not that we should appear approved, but that you should do that which is honest. Though we be as reprobates, we can do nothing against the truth for truth." Now, here, what is he talking about? He's telling you to make sure, examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith. And he's talking about salvation. You see, again, folks, if, in fact, you have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, and you will have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit if you're truly saved. If you do have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, then you're going to want to serve God. You're going to want to serve the Lord, okay? And like I said, I know people, and some of them are very dear to me, and I'm very concerned about them because I don't see any desire short of going to church on Sunday, one day a week. They don't go to prayer meetings during the week. At our church, we're big on prayer, both Thursday morning and Wednesday evening. We gather for prayer. And so here, again, the proof, faith without works is dead being alone. Be you doer of the word, not a hearer only, deceiving your own self. Deceiving your own self. This is where the message is there. Now, I want to go over to John 3. And in the Gospel of John, this is one of the most, it's the most popular verse in the Bible. The best well-known, even people that don't go to church, they see it on the signs, and I know that we have the big yard signs out there, and I have a big sign down there on my garage, John 3:16. But it's misunderstood by probably the majority of people. And here's why. I'm going to start with verse 14. "And Moses lifted up, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life." We're going to come back to that because that's very important. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God." Now, here's why that verse is so misunderstood. it's the shortest word in the entire chapter here. next to I, okay? And at his word, so, when it says here that God so loved the world. So many, many people misunderstand. They take that to think that he's saying that God loved the world so much. He loved the world so much. But that's not what it means. You see, that word in the Greek is heto, which means in this way or in this fashion or in this manner. And so what it's saying, that God, in this way, in this manner, he so loved, okay, the world. Now, who is he talking about? Well, if you go back to verse 15, that whosoever believeth on him, so that whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have eternal life. So what he's telling you is that here in this way or this fashion, God loved those that would believe upon him by placing his son upon the cross to take the sins of the world, to take away the sins of the world. Meaning, not all of the people in the world, but meaning, for God so loved the world that he gave, no, let me go back to verse 15, that whosoever believeth in him. So he's talking, he's meaning that those that believe on him is the ones he placed Christ upon the cross for, okay? In fact, here, when you say that, well, no, that means God so loved the world. Well, not really. Let's go over to James 4:4. And if we go over to James chapter 4, and I'll be there in a minute. In verse 4, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship to the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Folks, he's telling you, okay, that God is at odds with the world and his people. God is angry. God's angry at the world. And what does that tell you? We should be angry too. The title should have been, we should be angry. We should have righteous indignation, angry because of all the evil and all the wickedness that's taken place today in this world. And I want to go over to 1 John chapter 2. In 1 John chapter 2, we read again here. Starting with verse 15, here you go. Now listen. What's it say? Love not the world. If God had loved all of the world, why would he be telling you in various places not to love the world? Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Those are the accursed things. Those are the accursed things that, and Jericho, the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. And so he's telling you there that you are to avoid the world. You are to hate the world. When he says love not the world, that means you're to hate that world, okay? The things, in fact, how often do you hear the sound bites? You hear all these little sound bites. The Bible says that we are to hate the sin but love the sinner. The Bible does not say that. The Bible says, teaches that we are to love what God loves and hate what God hates, to love what God loves. And so we are to hate the world and all of these things, the worldly things in it. We'll maybe read a list of those off. And then I want to go to 1 John 5 and read verses 4 and 5. Well, 3, 4, and 5. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh, believe that Jesus is the Son of God. No, that overcometh the world. This is the victory that overcometh the world. So we are not to love the world. We're to overcome the world, okay? Even our faith, who is he that overcometh but the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. So the world's our enemy. The world is our enemy. And to be able to overcome the world, you must be what? Saved. And if you are not saved, you have not been overcome. You have not overcome the world. So today, and you're a part of the woke or the Antichrist system. Jesus never said that it would be easy, folks. But he did say this. He said that he would help us overcome the world. And so, now, God hates those whose hands shed innocent blood. Today we have the most wicked people out there. And we'll be doing some pro. You know, it almost hurts me to. But my job, I have to send you folks the information in our newsletters. You got to know what they're doing. You have to know. But today, our government, this corrupt, this extremely, extremely corrupt government, with our tax dollars, pays these women to carry their babies to full term to delivery and then sell them to these animals, these beasts, like in Pittsburgh University, these beasts at these different hospitals. And they take these live babies and they remove their organs while they're alive with nothing for pain, because they can't contaminate it with any kind of painkiller or anything. And these wicked women, every one of them, they're so wicked they could be Democratic congresswoman, like AOC and the squat. That's how wicked they are, these extremely evil, wicked women. And they sell their babies to these animals to remove their organs and to experiment on them. That's wicked, folks. That is extremely wicked. And so, here, I want to go over to the things that God hates and what he tells you in the scripture. And if we go to Proverbs chapter 6, and in Proverbs chapter 6, we read verses 16 through 19, also 24 and 32. These six things does the Lord hate, yes, seven are abomination unto him: a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, and a heart that devises wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that spreadeth lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. And then, verse 24, to keep thee from the evil woman, from flattery, of the tongue of a strange woman. And then verse 32. For jealousy is the rage of a man, therefore he will not spare in the day of vengeance. And so here, what are we talking about? Well, when I think about a God, a proud look, the first one that comes to my mind with that proud look would be Barack Obama. Barack Obama had that where he would kind of tilt his head to one side and he would have that arrogant, proud look. Bill Clinton also was very well known for that. And his wife, Jezebel, Hillary, oh, she would have that proud and that defiant, that rebellious look in her face. And then, when I think about Joe Obama, that's Joe Biden, He also has a proud look. And, of course, Kamala Harris, another one. I mean, when you take a look at all of these people, they got that proud, arrogant look on their face. Now, here, the Bible says God is angry every day. He's angry every day with the wicked. A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. Well, you know, that's the basis of the entire Deathocratic Communist Collective Party. A heart that devises wicked imaginations. You know, like critical race theory, like the woke movement, like, you know, what they're doing to the children in the public school system. You know, it's an evil thing where they convince these, first of all, they convince the kids that they should take the poisonous poke. They should take the kill shot. Then they tell them, in fact, they've in some of the schools, they've already given that to children without their parents even knowing about it. There should be some hefty lawsuits there, folks. And then this whole thing, trying to convince children to have sex changed, it's an evil, it's a wicked, ungodly, evil thing. And like I said, if you love your kids at all, you get them out of the public school system. If you love them at all, you get them out of that public school system. And then here, feet that are swift running to mischief. Well, again, that describes a whole lot out there. A heart that devises, a false witness that speaketh lies. I can't say any more than what they call the mainstream media. You know, those in the mainstream media. Sometimes I truly believe, and these talking heads that you see, Sally Stahl and others that you see on there, you might be hard pressed to find anyone that's ever heard any of those talking heads, like Morning Joe or whatever. You'd be hard pressed to find anyone that's ever heard any of them tell the truth. That's ever heard any of them at one time tell the truth. They've forgotten how to tell the truth, if they ever knew. And so, here, the Deathocrat mob propaganda machine, God hates those that teach the children, again, the ways of the pedophiles, like Disneyland. We talked about Disney. I mean, you know, I'm really hoping people will have enough integrity to boycott Disney and not bring their children. I hope that they have enough standards not to bring their children to that hotbed of pedophilia. And so here, now, I want to, God hates those that commit iniquity, is what Scripture says, by killing people with the kill shots. So, I'm going to turn over to Deuteronomy 32. And in Deuteronomy chapter 32, starting with verses 37 through 47. And he shall say, where are their gods? Where's the rock in whom they trusted, which did eat the fat of their sacrifices and drank the wine of their drink offerings? Let them rise up and help you and be your protection. You see, now Israel's got themselves in a big mess here. And now they're begging after they refuse to obey God. Now they're crying the blues. They're asking God, please come help us. Please come help us. And God's saying, and he shall say, where are their gods, right? Where's your rock in whom you trusted, which did eat the fat of their sacrifices and drink the wine of their drink offering? Let them rise up and help you and be your protection. See now that I am he, and there is no God with me. I kill and I make alive. I wound and I heal. Neither is there any that can deliver out of my hand. For I lift up my hand to heaven and say, I live forever. If I whet my glittering sword and my hand take hold on judgment, I will render vengeance to mine enemies and will reward them that hate me. And I will make mine arrows drunk with the blood, and my sword shall devour the flesh, and that which the blood of the slain and the captives from the beginning of revengers upon my enemy. Rejoice, O you nations, with his people, for he will avenge the blood of his servants, and he will render vengeance to his adversaries, and he will be merciful unto the land and to his people. And Moses came and spoke all these words of this song in the ears of the people, he and Hoshea, the son of Nun. And Moses made an end of speaking all these words to all of Israel, and said unto them, Set your hearts unto all of the words which I testify among you this day, which you shall command your children to observe to do, all of the words of this law, for it is not a vain thing for you to, because it is your life, and through this thing you shall prolong your days in the land, whether they go to Jordan to possess it. Now, here, Moses is saying, study the word of God, teach it to your children, and when you learn how profitable it is, you will start applying it daily, and it will prolong your days wherever God has placed you. Now, the world will someday realize that God is who he says he is. It will be too late for most of them to repent. It will not end well with them. Okay, and so I pray again all the time for those that have not made their salvation sure. It's what we've been talking about today. It is so very, very, very important that people make their salvation sure. Now, I want to go over to Numbers. And in Numbers, here, chapter 25, I want to read verses 1 through 13. Here now, we know God is a holy God. God is not one to tolerate idolatry at all, not at all. Whether it's a sports figure, as today, so many people, they idolize sports figures. To them, they become little gods. Or movie stars, or billionaires, or those billionaires of technology, or those geniuses, so-called, of science. So those that do that, that commit that idolatry, well, it's going to cost them dearly someday. And so we read, And Israel abode in Shittim, and the people began to commit whoredom with the daughters of Moab. And they called the people into the sacrifices of their gods, and the people did eat and bow down to their gods, and Israel joined himself unto Baal-peor. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel. Now, folks, you know, remember the two nations that were formed, one nation under God, Israel and America. And Israel today is not in good favor with God, and neither is America. America has turned her back on her God. And the Lord said unto Moses, Take all the heads of the people and hang them before the Lord against the sun, that the fierce anger of the Lord may be turned away from Israel. So he had commanded Moses, I want the heads of those people. I want you to cut off their heads and hang them up in this, facing the sunlight. And Moses said unto the judges of Israel, Slay you every one his man that were joined unto Baal-peor. Those are Baal worshippers. And behold, one of the children of Israel came and brought unto his brethren, a Midianite woman in the sight of Moses. Now, what happens, these Midianite women, they wanted to take over Israel. And so they wanted to do it by sending their women in and having their women go in and seducing the Israeli men and having children by them. And eventually then they would figure that they would take over the nation of Israel. And it's like today, you know, everything is from they're like, they're parasitical. They're like parasites. They'll enter into a healthy, strong body and eat it from within. And that's what they were planning on doing. And that is exactly what the deathocrats have done here in this country. You know, remember the days, the YMCA meant, Young Men's Christian Association. Young men, very few of them any today have any association with Christianity at all. Now, it used to be, you could go in there, they'd have Bibles in there free, they would have tracts and that. No, not today, not anymore. They become secularized, worldly. And it seems like the women's side always goes first. Well, way before the YMCA went bad, the YWCA went bad. I mean, they went down quickly. Way before the Boy Scouts went down, the Girl Scouts were gone. I mean, literally, the Girl Scouts were taken over by feminists and literally taught that, in many cases, whoredom was something to be embraced. I would never send my daughters to the Girl Scouts today. There's another group that was started by former Girl Scout leaders out there because the Girl Scouts had gone bad. And so, and we had those folks on the radio program several times. And I'm trying to remember the name of their outfit, but they're the Alternative. And they're growing like hotcakes with the Girl Scouts are dying on the vine. And so we pick it up where we left off. And behold, one of the children of Israel came and brought into his brethren a Midianite woman, a Midianite-ish woman, in the sight of Moses and in the sight of all the congregation of the children of Israel, who were weeping before the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And when Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, saw it, he rose up from amongst the congregation, took a javelin in his hand, and went in after the man of Israel into the tent, and thrust both of them through, the man of Israel and the woman through her belly. So the plague was stayed from the children of Israel, and those that died in the plague were 24,000. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, hath turned away my wrath from the children of Israel, while he was zealous for my sake among them, that I consumed not the children of Israel in my jealousy. Wherefore say, behold, I give unto him the covenant of peace, and he shall have it, and his seed after him, even the covenant of an everlasting priesthood, because he was zealous for his God and made an atonement for the children of Israel. See, God is a righteous God. He's a righteous God. And from Genesis to Revelation, the one thing that God's Word, the Bible, teaches more than anything else is obedience. That's the one thing it speaks to more than anything else is obedience. Now, I want to go over to Mark chapter 3. And in Mark chapter 3, here, verses 1 through 6, and he entered into the synagogue, and there was a man there which had a withered hand, and they watched him, whether he would heal on the Sabbath day, that they might be accused, that they might accuse him. And he saith unto the man who had the withered hand, Stand forth. And after he said unto them, Is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath day, or to do evil, or to save a life, or to kill? And they held their peace. And when he looked around about them with anger, this is righteous anger on the Lord's face, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts, he said unto the man, Stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored whole as the other. And the Pharisees went forth and straightway took counsel with the Herodians against him, how they might destroy him. Now this is really interesting, folks. Can you think about that for a minute? Here, they saw what God could do. They were jealous of his popularity. They were jealous of his miracles and his speaking authority. Now, he spoke with absolute authority. Now, they saw what he could do, and they knew who he was. And they even said, we have to be careful because we can't deny the fact that this man has done a lot of miracles. If they had studied their scripture, they would find out that it was the Messiah in Isaiah 53. Well, I've got to stop right there for tonight. And so here, as we've been talking all night, the most important thing is to make your salvation sure. If you have never called upon the name of the Lord, folks, you are in a very dangerous spot, believe me. You're listening to me tonight. It's like walking a hot... it's like walking a wire over the lake, the burning lake of fire, a high wire. You don't want to run out of tomorrows tonight. You don't want to risk that. It's going to be thousands of people dying tonight, actually millions, and guess what? The vast majority of them have no intention of dying. Don't you be one of them. Do like Jesus said, pray to the Father, ask for forgiveness of your sins. Then call upon the name of the Lord Jesus, like we just read over there in Matthew chapter, or John chapter 3. Ask the Lord Jesus to be the Lord of your life, all of your life, without reservations. And you will be indwelt with the Holy Spirit. And you will become a new creature. You've got God's word on it, an heir of the kingdom. So it's not hard. Jesus did all the heavy lifting. Pray to the Father. Pray to the Father, repent. Tell him, you know, you're sorry for your sins, and you're sorry that your sin caused the Lord Jesus such severe pain, the severe pain upon that cross, and ask for forgiveness of your sin. And then ask the Lord Jesus to come and be the Lord of your life, all of your life, without any reservations. He has to be first, and you will be indwelt with the Holy Spirit. You will become a new believer. You will become an heir of the kingdom because you've got God's word on it. And there's nothing that ever has been, is now, or ever will be as sure as God's word. Till tomorrow, good night. God bless, and always, always keep fighting the fight. Good night.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.